Again, it's good for me to be here, and I really want to just take time to break the word. I want to break the word. I want to challenge our hearts. You know me already. Where I want to take you is not where you're going to be accustomed to. So a thought comes to my mind that God offends the mind to reveal the intents of your heart. Can I say that again? He offends your mind to see what is in you. You get that? And so very often offenses come, as it happened with us trying to get here. I mean, real offensive that would frustrate you and cause you to get into the flesh. But what it is that God wants to reveal the intent of your heart. Praise God. And so we, like my wife said, we go through issues, and those issues ought to become the stepping stones of your life for you to rise to a higher place. Very sad, many of us slump under because of offenses. Offenses come from our brethren, people who sit next to us, family. Offenses come from churches. Can I tell you that? Offenses come from our co-workers. It comes from everywhere, situations and things. Offenses come. But God is trying to reveal the intent of our hearts. Today I want to talk to us, and I want to connect the dots to why we are here. We are here on this mission because we believe in God to save a nation. But what is happening in Jamaica with the crime and the violence, which has gotten so beyond your imagination, it is an offense. And when the Lord spoke to me and says, let's rally the church, that the church would stand up, and I spoke with a number of pastors, and I said, the biggest struggle that I have as a minister of God after 40-odd years of ministry is the church. The church just does not work together. They don't come together for anything. And every man for himself. Until one day, some of the police officers, high-ranking police officers, got wind of the fact that I was believing God to unite the church, to bring about a parade that the church could just stand up and pray against the evils of the day. This was in last year. And we were planning for this year. And the police came to me and said, Pastor McIntosh, we need your help. Our nation is in crisis. And this is the police, the high command of the police, coming to us and saying, can you help us? We do not know what to do. What is happening? The police is saying to us, what is happening in our nation is spiritual, and the police is not trained to deal with this. We are up against evil beyond our imagination, and we need the help of the church. And so the police got together with us and worked with us to bring churches together to stand against evil. So the crime in our nation was offensive, evil, diabolical even. And he offends all of our hearts and minds, even as a church, to see what was in our hearts. And so now we are rising up in God. Praise God. Today I want to talk to us. And I remember some when I was here the last time. And I shared a few things. And I want to go back there. Because we're talking about the end of times. How many of us really, really believe that we are in the end of times? I'm not convinced that we are all aware of this. But we are up against hell. And we are in the end of times. So I want to talk about the end times and the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of God just took me to the book of Acts. And I want to ask if we could just look there some this morning. And I'm going to be taking us right through the Bible a little here, from Revelations back to Genesis, Genesis through to Revelation. If you could, Acts chapter 1, let's just quickly pick up a few thoughts there. Speaking about the Holy Spirit, the book of Acts starts with the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. So Christ in his resurrection appears to his disciples and he begins to speak to them of things pertaining to the kingdom. This is the risen Lord in the midst of his people, and he's talking. In verse 2 of Acts chapter 1, it says, well, verse 1 says, he began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had taught through the Holy Ghost and given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. In verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. So Jesus has finished his work on earth. The devil took him out, but the purposes of God was being fulfilled. So in death, he was fulfilling the plan of God. He came so that he would die. He was buried and he went into the depths of hell, and he brought the kingdom of God to hell, took the keys of death and hell from the wicked one, and he rose. And when he rose, he's now walking on the face of the earth, talking to his disciples. Praise God. And he says to them, folks, wait for the promise of your Father, which I've told you about. So right here in his resurrected state, he is now preparing the church for an end time move. The promise of the Father is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the advent of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost has to do with end times. So a lot of us who have been talking about the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that makes you look all nice and pretty as a people, and give you status with God and all these things. I'm here to just impress upon us that the advent of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father that Jesus spoke to his disciples about, was to prepare the church for an end time move. We want to talk about that some this morning. But before I even go towards talking about the end time happenings that we're all up against, let's just talk about the church. So he says, wait for the promise of the Father. In verse 5, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8, we all are aware of. It says, you shall receive power. Can you help me here? Can we just say that together? We shall receive power. Let's say that again. We shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall become witnesses of me. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus is speaking. He says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, the end time people of God, the end time church, the people at the end of the age. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and you shall receive power. Folks, just bear with me a little bit. The power of God is coming upon his church in the last days. The Spirit of God is anointing his people because there's a reason for this, folks. It's not for you to just glory in your state that you're blessed of God and anointed. Blessed and highly favored, some people say. It's not about your good looks. It's about what is about to take place in the earth. It says, you shall receive power and you shall become witnesses. A witness is a martyr. Oh my God. A witness is not just a group of people huddled together on a Sunday morning singing praises to God. Folks, in Matthew chapter 5, it says, you are, just about verse 12, thereabout, it says, you are the salt of the, can you help me? You are the salt of the earth. I'm talking about God's end time people here, folks, because we're going somewhere this morning. You are the, and if salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing. Can I say this again? Salt that has lost its savor is good for nothing. Who is the salt of the earth? Glory to God. So if a Christian has lost your salt giving purpose, you are good for nothing. I still don't think I've gotten over here. Praise God. A people who are ineffective, just churchgoers, are good for nothing but to be walked on by the feet of men. I'm trying to get at that. It says, if I can offend your mind, I will bring out what is in your heart. And I want to get into your heart here, folks. If you are not effective as a believer, an ineffective Christian is good for nothing. Am I getting the message home? And so going to church means nothing with God. Your effectiveness is what God is speaking about. An ineffective Christian or believer is good for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men. Are you getting this? So salt that is compacted or encased in a little jar called a salt shaker. If you lock salt up into this little jar and seal it, even if you put it in your food, the whole jar, it's good for nothing. It was meant to be shaken out. For you to be effective, you have to be poured out, shaken out. So your call, your ministry, is for you to affect and influence your surroundings. It's not for you to join church. It's for you to impact everything and anything in your path. Are you hearing me? It says, you are the light of the world. Light was never meant to be hidden under a table or to be put under a bed. You were meant to shine. Are you getting this? I'm prophesying to the church, folks. You are the light of the world, and you were given of God to shine. Not to be hidden or locked behind walls. Can I say, light is only effective when there is darkness. Am I getting this home here? You are the light of the world. But light was never meant to be hidden, but to be put on the rooftop so that the whole world can see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See what? Your good works. See who you are. Am I saying something here? Until the world see who you are, they cannot glorify your Father who is in heaven. Praise God. And so they can't see if you are not shining, and you are not shining in dark places where your life can make an impact. Are you getting this now? Praise God. So I'm talking about a witness. It says the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you shall receive power. so that you might shine, so that you might be salt, and so that you can affect. Give me some words. Create impact. Touch. Change. So that you can be an agent of change in this world. Thank you, Jesus. So the power of God has come upon you. Bless God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's talking about when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Says, follow after love. Verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Help me here. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you would prophesy. Verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto men, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. So those who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen to me, folks. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit for you to join a Bless Me Club this morning. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost coming upon the church that you would receive power. Folks, this is a time of the supernatural. So I'm now speaking to the supernatural move of God in the people of God. It says, follow after love. Prophesy. But I would love for you to speak in tongues. Because when you speak in tongues, I will know that you have received the Holy Ghost. Can I just say this? When you speak in tongues, I will have confirmation that you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and that the power of God is upon you. For when you speak in tongues, you speak in mysteries. You're not speaking to men, but you're speaking to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just taking the time to build something here. You're not speaking to men, but you're speaking to God. So you are given a tongue, and the tongue in itself is supernatural. Folks, just let me say this. For those of you who sit on it and say, it's okay, we don't have to speak in tongues. Let me tell you something. Speaking in tongues is evidence that the supernatural power of God is at work in your life. Let me say it again. Thank you, Jesus. I would love for you to speak in tongues. For those who speak in tongues, do not speak to men. You cannot go to school. I don't care which university or college you want to visit. They cannot teach you this language. You cannot learn it. You cannot study for it. You cannot grasp it. It is given by the Holy Ghost. And only through your obedience to God will you be able to move under the power of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you speak mysteries. Praise God. You speak mysteries. It's a prayer language. Folks, can I tell you what speaking in tongues is? It's the Spirit of God. Listen to me. It's the Spirit of God. Who is God? Hello? Hello? The Spirit of God, who is? Who is in you, speaking through you to God. You know what that means? God is speaking to God through you. You didn't get this, eh? So when you speak in tongues, the supernatural of God is being revealed and you are besides yourself. It bypasses your understanding. It offends your mind. So those of you who sit saying, oh, well, you know, I don't have to. Because it offends your mind. And if it offends your mind, the intent of your heart is going to be revealed. You're really not pressing into God. You're really not moving in the spiritual. You're sitting in the natural, enjoying yourself in the presence of God. But tongues was made to set you into a place where the supernatural of God is evident. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're praying for yourself. Jude, verse 20, I think, says, praise God, build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. So when you're praying in tongues, you're praying for yourself to raise up a standard in you. Praise God. Because there's a battle that is about to be waged. And you were brought here for this purpose. Praise God. It's not about church. There's something that is about to happen. And God is saying, pray in the Holy Ghost. Build up yourself. Praise God. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying for yourself that you might be enriched. Folks, you cannot prophesy if you have not prepared yourself spiritually, moving out of the flesh. If you are trying to prophesy out of the flesh and out of your mind, you're prophesying error. You're prophesying according to the devil. So to prophesy, you move into a realm of the spirit that speaking in tongues take you into. Where your mind is offended, your mind is confused, your mind cannot understand, and the Holy Ghost is beginning to teach you things. Glory to God. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you not only pray for yourself, you pray for circumstances and situations round about you. Praise God. You don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Ghost knows everything, searches everything. And he begins to make intercession to the Father. Who begins to make intercession to the Father? The Holy Ghost begins to make intercession to the Father through you. And if you don't open your mouth, if you don't open your mouth and say, God, fill my mouth with this language. And if ineffective Christian is good for I'm offending the mind, Pastor. I want to offend our minds because you cannot stand in the evil day if you don't prepare yourself for this time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So praying in tongues takes you out of flesh into a realm of the spirit where you can now be in touch with God, the Holy Ghost. So when you prophesy and speak with understanding, the words that come from you are coming from the Spirit of God. It is supernatural. It is not of your mind. It is not of your flesh. Prophecy is not of your flesh. Prophecy makes you an oracle of God. You are speaking as God to God's people. You're speaking the voice of God. You cannot speak. There are too many pastors, men and women of God, that are speaking from flesh. So there's no excuse for you not to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's no excuse for you not to speak in tongues. Because God says, you shall receive. If you believe the word of God, apply the word of God to your life, folks. I'm not going to be begging you. I'm not going to be forming any line to pray for anyone to speak in tongues. I am speaking the word of God. And if you are listening to God and you have not spoken in tongues, you're missing the boat. Somebody has told you, get comfortable in your religion. But God is saying, I am releasing power. And the power is not to be subdued. It's not to be put under a bed. It's not to be hidden. It was meant to go public. Are you getting this? Thirdly, speaking in tongues releases miracles. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He says, you shall receive power. So the healing of the sick, the casting out of demons, the raising of the dead. Come on, help me here. Come on. Even simply the preaching of the gospel is not of the flesh. Praise God. When you speak in tongues, the Holy Ghost gives you power, and the power is being released in you because God is preparing you for an end time push, an end time move. Have you gotten this? Have you gotten this? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon your people. Lord God, that you would let your power from on high come upon your people today, oh God. Lord, that they will not move in their understanding. Lord, that they will not move in their minds. Lord God, and give rise to flesh, that they may try to understand the words of your kingdom through the flesh. Lord God, but that you might open their eyes and give them spiritual insight. Lord God, touch their ears that they may hear the voice of your spirit, oh God, that I'm not speaking religion this morning, oh God, but purpose. Lord, that I'm speaking life, Lord God, because the next step that we take is going to be dependent, oh God, on whether we are moving in the flesh or whether we are moving in the spirit. So bless these words to our hearts right now, oh God, and transform our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Enough about the Holy Ghost. It's either you're walking in the Holy Spirit or you're not. It's either the power of God is upon you or it is not. I make no excuse for the flesh. I don't care how we feel or what we think. It says, I shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon me. And I will speak in other tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Angelic, even the language of men that is not known to me. So I am not going to speak in tongues by speaking in English. It must offend your mind and take you to a place where you might never have been before. Matthew chapter 24. Praise God. The last time I was here, I'm sure I broke this scripture with us. I want to take it further this time around. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 37, verses 37, 38, 39, Matthew 24, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, can you help me? So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can we say that again? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes. It's there. Let's say it again. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man shall return. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Acts, where I started, when Jesus says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Read the rest of Acts chapter 1, right after verse 8. Just go down a little further. It says, immediately Jesus was caught up to heaven. And some angels appeared alongside the folks who were there with him. Acts chapter 1, after verse 8 downwards. It says, some men dressed in white stood by their sides and said, men and brethren, why are you standing there gazing into heaven? He says, this same Jesus who has been taken up into heaven shall return before your very eyes in like manner. So the end of time was being prophesied from the book of Acts chapter 1. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and that you have received power. It says Jesus was taken up from their midst. And the angel says, expect him to return in the same way that you see him going up, he shall return. So now fast forward to the book of Matthew. I'll go back really to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 37. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. Now, we're talking about the return of, thank you, the return of Jesus. And the return of Jesus is going to be replicated by what took place when Noah was here. As it was in the days of Noah, it shall happen all over again. Thank you, Jesus. Can we read on a little bit? Next verse. It says, for as in the days that were before the flood, say before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I've struggled with this scripture quite some. As it was in the days of Noah, it is going to happen all over. Now, we know from the last time that I was here that when the flood came, the flood was God's judgment against sin. How many of you remember that? So the flood was God's wrath against sin. And God destroyed the entire earth with the flood. Hello? Okay, and we remember these stories? And the same flood that destroyed the earth is the same flood that floated the ark. You remember that? I'm taking you somewhere here. Eh? Actually, let me say it again. The same flood that wiped out the earth is the same flood that saved the church. I'm going to say it again. The same wrath and the fury of God that was poured out on the earth in the days of Noah that destroyed the whole earth is the same wrath and fury that floated the ark and kept them alive. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. As it was in the days of Noah, it shall happen all over again. It says they were eating and they were drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Can we go to the book of Genesis chapter 6? Genesis chapter 6. Praise God. I want us to just quickly look at what was happening in the days of Noah. Can we figure out what was happening in the days of Noah? Verse 1, Genesis chapter 6. Can we do Bible study here? Hello? Am I losing you? Okay. Verse 1 says, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, that they were beautiful. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered. Verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after those days. I need you to follow me. Young people, please follow me a little bit here. It says, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented God that he created man. It vexed God to his belly that he made man? What was it that was happening in the earth that caused God to be so angry that he vomited over the fact that he made man? What was it? It says the angels left their former estate and came down and took wives to themselves and bore a species of beings in the earth that were not of God. They were not created by God. They were never intended to be there by God, but they were brought into being. What is this? What's happening here? What you had happening in the days of Noah was demonic interference in the affairs of men. Fallen angels leaving their estate with God. Once you're fallen, you're no longer with God. So you are now anti-God, anti-Christ. You are of the devil. We're talking demons that came down from heaven and took women to be their wives and bore children. These were not, folks, just hear me, folks. I want to take you where you cannot read in some of the scriptures. These people that were being created by these spirit beings were not of God. And so they became giants in the earth. They were not of God. They did not have the spirit of God in them. They, listen to me, they were half human and half devil. You see, you read the scriptures, you don't grasp these things. So a species of people were being created in the earth that were half human, half angel, fallen angel, half demon. Glory to God. And they became giants. You know, you get some pictures in the Bible, Goliath and some of these creatures. It sounds like fantasy, but let me take you. It says they were not created of God. They were not human. They were not human. They were supernatural. What some of us young people, you watch movies. We call them demigods. Don't you know those things? Demigods. Eh? And some of them half horse, half man. Some of them half fish, mermaids, half God. Supernatural. Some like Hercules, half man, half God. They were super. When it says they were giant, men of renown, it means they were supernatural beings. They were above the human race. They were half angels that are fallen and half man. They were being created by the devil himself, like an army in the earth, to stop Messiah from coming. Giants were created in the earth. These giants were anti-Christ, anti-God. And they were here to stop. Remember the story when Jesus spoke to the serpent and to the woman and says, your seed, the seed of the serpent, is going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the... There's war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Where did the seed of the serpent come from? Thank you, Jesus. And people were born in the earth, and they were born to oppose men and women of God. Let me go on. Can you go fast forward to verse 12? Verse 12 says, and all flesh in the earth was corrupted. There was no one left in the earth that was righteous. Breaking the scriptures for us. It says all flesh. God looked upon the earth and behold, it was corrupt. For, say all. I am reading the same Bible you're reading. All flesh was corrupted. All flesh. Birds, bees, flowers, trees, animals. All flesh was corrupted. And God said, oh God, I hate the fact that I made man. Think about it. And Noah found favor in the sight of God. One man in the entire earth. The devil succeeded in corrupting the entire earth. The earth was abominable before God. Abominable. So that all flesh, say all flesh. Oh God, can you fast forward a little bit with me? Think about right where you are now. There are very few people, if any, that are untouched by Satan. Come on. We are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But our children, the babies, are being fed on TV. And they are learning everything about loving each other. And they are learning everything. And all flesh, say all flesh. All flesh is being corrupted before the face of God. Can you go back? I want us to get the scriptures right. Say, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also when the Son of Man comes. Praise God. And it says, demonic interference came in the course of earth and produced a species of people in the earth that came against God. And God says, I was sick of the thought that I made man and I'm going to destroy him and wipe them out from the face of the earth. Praise God. But the scripture says the giants were born before the flood and after the flood. So Noah escaped the flood. He had his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And what do you think they produced after the flood? I want you to work with me, folks. I'm going to give you some Bible study. Eh? You need to go home and read the scriptures. Follow after the flood. They did not walk with God. Thank you, Jesus. Nimrod was the great grandson of Noah. Nimrod, born of Cush. Cush is the son of Shem, Ham, Japheth, one of them. And so Cush's son was Nimrod. And the Bible says, and Nimrod became great. I began to do some research. The literal Hebrew, when it's rendered, says, and Nimrod began to become a giant in the earth. And Nimrod was supernatural above all human beings. And he was a mighty warrior. The scriptures doesn't say it right. It says, before God. The Hebrew says, and Nimrod became a mighty warrior in the face of God. And built a city called Babel. Yeah, are you with me? We are in Genesis chapter 10. That's where we are here. And Nimrod built a city called Babel. And he built a tower in the city. Folks, I need you to go and tear this Bible apart. He built a tower in the city that would reach the... The word Nimrod being translated means rebel. Nimrod was a rebel before God. And as a matter of fact, might not have even been his name, but spoke of a movement that was in the earth that they just named after rebellion. The whole city of Babel and all that, Babylon and all those places that came out of it, Nineveh, that came out of this, was born out of rebellion against God. And the tower that Nimrod built to reach to the heaven was a tower, listen to me, was a tower that Nimrod was trying to build to get to the heaven, to get to God himself, because it was the intention of his heart that he was going to kill God. He was going to avenge the blood of his fathers that were wiped out in the flood. Nimrod was an antichrist demon that came in the earth and built an entire the first civilization and city after Noah was Nimrod. And he built the tower so high, it was his intention that if God sent flood again, he would escape the flood, that God couldn't kill him. So when it says he was a mighty warrior before God, he was a mighty warrior in God's face because he was going to destroy God at all cost. Nimrod is not some little Bible story that you want to think that is hunky-dory and nice. Nimrod began to become a giant. That means demonic interference came. Somewhere in there, I don't know how, and the man was transformed into something else. Are you getting this? Thank you, Jesus. And if you follow the scripture, from Noah, there were giants all over the earth. What was the purpose of this? It was to stop God, Messiah, from coming into being. It was to stop Messiah from being created in the earth, because the seed of the serpent's job is to stop him at all cost. Thank you, Jesus. Can I come forward here now? What do you think the seed of the serpent is doing right now? To stop the church. Thank you, Jesus, from coming into her purpose, from stop the church from discovering who you really are in God. Are you hearing me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so you have war that is taking place, folks. The seed of the serpent that is being manifested to destroy Messiah from coming into the earth. So Messiah came. Hallelujah. And the church is born. Mankind is redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. Say hallelujah. Praise God. But the war didn't stop. Come on, church. The war has not stopped. The war is in your face. And while you sit here thinking all is well, thank you, Jesus, giants are being created in the earth. Help me here. As it was in the days of Noah, it is going to happen all over again. Now, when the Bible says you shall receive power from on high and you shall become witnesses, God knows what you're coming against. You don't seem to understand what is about to hit you in the face. While you're playing church, hell is coming forth. Hell is coming forth. So I'm reading from the book of Revelations. Oh God, help me. I think it's chapter 9, Revelations. It says, and I saw an angel fall from heaven, a star fall from heaven, having the keys of hell in his hands. And the angel goes down into the abyss and opens hell and releases hell into the earth. Read it. Revelations 9. Am I in the right place? He opened the bottomless pit. There arose smoke. Come on. God bless you, my friend. Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you. Amen. Touch him, Lord. He's in the spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. He opened the bottomless pit. Can you just, I want to close this, say, as it was in the days of Noah, it shall happen all over again. Hell is being opened. And I'll read it. Revelation 9, it says, out of hell is going to come all manner of demons. Where you think they're coming? In the earth. And so there are demonic interference that is going to be coming in the earth. No, I skipped because I'm not even following my notes. I skipped a few things here. So I'm closing. It says they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and being given in marriage. Can I ask you the question? What were they eating and what were they drinking that could sick God's stomach? That God would say, I'm going to destroy the earth. Could it be that they were just having steak and wine? My favorite. Could it be that they were just having nice barbecue chicken? And says they were marrying and giving in marriage. Could it be that, oh, so a guy proposes to a girl, they go down the altar, they get married, and that sick God's stomach? What's happening when it says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage? If you're quick, I'm trying to close this. It's just coming all back there. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13. You remember the story about the spies that Moses sent into the land to spy out the land? Matthew, help me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, then Numbers. Are you with me? Thank you, Jesus. Numbers chapter 13. Are you there? It says, the Lord spake, verse 1. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Fast forward. Let's jump down to verse 26. Matthew, where am I? Numbers chapter 13. Verse 26 says, And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness. And it goes down. Verse 28. It says, nevertheless, the people we saw in the land, they were strong that dwelt in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south. Go down. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 31. Just flow with me here. And the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, read the rest of it for me. Can I just suggest to you that the report that they brought, that the people of the land ate the people. Read it. What were they eating and drinking in those days? They were eating the flesh of men and drinking the blood of men. The land could not contain the giants anymore. And they turned against the people of land. They were eating people. They were drinking their blood. Remember, the giants were supernatural. So they have what you have today, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it. Genetic alterations where they had the power to genetically alter even the food of the land that produced grapes that one man couldn't take a bunch. Two men had to put one bunch of grape over a pole and walk with it. It was genetically altered. They had supernatural. Wait, did you think God created grapes that were so big? No, it was diabolically created, genetically altered to feed the giants. Oh my God. You know, that tells me there are some genetically created chicken that bear more than two legs. Oh my God. I shouldn't have said that. They are genetically created food that we're feeding on. Can you just preach with me a little bit? Say, as it was, as it in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days when the Son of Man is returned. Thank you, Jesus. It says they were eating and drinking. Let's go back. Glory to God. They were killing and they were destroying mankind. The giants turned against themselves and they were killing each other. And when they were stopped at that, they started to kill men and drink their blood. Oh God, that you have to think, what is it that made God sick? They were marrying and giving in marriage. What do you think was happening? When the angels came down, do you think that they walked over some pretty girl and said, can I have your hand in marriage? I love you so much. You're so beautiful. They took the daughters of men forcefully. They didn't ask questions. Come on. They produced children. Whether you wanted it, yes or no, these beings did what they wanted. They plundered. As it was in Luke chapter 17, it says, so also in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, planting and doing all manner of things until Lot was taken out and fire came down from heaven. What were they doing in Sodom and Gomorrah? Come on, help me in the church. You're talking about sexual immorality beyond your imagination. That even when an angel came in their midst and they say, yeah, no, don't touch these angels, take me. They say, no, we don't want you, you're human. We want them. What do you think they wanted them for? I'm offending your mind. I got to blow your religion, burst your religious balloons a little bit here, folks. I got to take you somewhere for you to understand. They were not marrying and giving in marriage as how we have it here. They were having all manner of affairs. Arranged marriages and forceful marriages. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Let me go back to the book of Acts. It says, you shall receive power. I'm trying to close. Say it for me. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, it's not for your good looks. It's because something is about to happen. Something is about to happen, and you're not even going to understand the ground you're walking on. When you're dancing your dance, let me tell you, when hell break loose, you better know Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm closing. And if you don't know how to talk in tongues, you need to get it. 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 At all costs, you need to get it. And if you don't know how to get it, go see Pastor Greg. Let him tell you how you get this thing. You need the power of God. I don't want you to just say, oh yes, I received the Holy Ghost. I want to see if you really mean what it is, that the power of God is on you. I need to see the supernatural being broke out in your life, because hell is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Jesus himself says, when I return, all these things are going to happen. Are you getting this? Can I close this? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bow your heads with me. As it was in the days of Noah. Just say those words with me. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also when the Son of Man comes. Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. And all, I've painted a picture, all evil is going to be taking place in the earth. Hey, thank you, Jesus. I can't tell you what these giants are today. But can I tell you something? Can I whisper? I don't want Pastor Greg to hear this. Can I whisper this? There are some giants standing in pulpits in churches. So powerful that they attract mega people. And when they're done, nobody knows Jesus. A spirit of seduction and a spirit of deception that comes over that is able to magnetize the crowd and make them feel good about themselves, and they're going to hell. There are some giants. There are some giants standing in our faces, and you don't know who it is or how to face it. Bow your heads. Bow your heads. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Oh God. It says, and all flesh was corrupted before the face of God. Can I just throw some words out there? I need you to talk to God. Can God talk through you to God right now? I need you to talk to God. What about your children? I'm talking about my children too. What about your children? We have no say in their lives. Something else dictates to them. Oh God, we're losing. What am I saying? We're losing even our families. Because the church is ineffective. And an ineffective church is good for. I need you to preach with me. An ineffective church is good for nothing. Say it again. An ineffective church is good. Can we get personal? An ineffective Christian is good for nothing. Pastor Greg. Let's come stand with me, sir. Let's just sit. An ineffective Christian is good for nothing. I need you to do some soul searching right now. An ineffective Christian is good for nothing. An ineffective Christian is good. Thank you, Jesus. When the end of time come, your religion not going to help you. You're going to have to stand. You're going to have to stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over this congregation right now. Lord, as you have led me, I just broke the word. And God, that it might offend the minds so that the heart can be revealed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, today I pray that you would just activate your people. Activate the church. Activate your people, oh God. Activate them. Activate them. God, bring them. Stir them up. Bring them to life. Activate the church today, oh God. I pray over all these young people. God, activate them. Activate them, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Activate them. Lord, young and old, activate them, oh God. Activate them. Activate them, oh God, that they may stand. Lord, that they might apply your word to their hearts. Oh God, Jesus, that will make them radical, that will make them effective, that would make them powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands, everyone. Just lift your hands. Just lift. Young and old, just lift your hands. Father, I pray right now for the supernatural outpouring of your Holy Spirit to come upon your people right now. Come, I want you to lift your hands and receive this. A supernatural outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To anoint you to be effective. Flesh can't cut it. Come on, we got to get in the Spirit here. Holy Spirit, fall upon your people right now. Kondorobo sakaraba. Sheki ondo romo momo shiki delivi. Rabababa shakadalaba. God, I pray for your people to become supernatural right now, oh God. Powerful, powerful, not religious, supernatural, oh God, for these last moments, for these closing moments, oh God. Give your people power, Lord God. I pray for a breakthrough. I pray for breakthrough. Come out of the flesh. Step in the spirit. Yorobo sakanda rabababa. Shekondoro. Shock your flesh. Step up in God. Receive the Holy Ghost. Kondoroboko shakadalaba. Yendoroboko sakadalaba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon your people. Anoint them. Anoint them. Empower them. Hallelujah. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come on, I'm provoking you. I'm closing this thing. When you leave this room today, you got to think about what you heard. It says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, streams of life. Come on, open your mouth that the Holy Ghost might fill you with a new language. Young and old, come on, don't be cute with God. Get real. Come alive. Come alive. Yoko salaba rababa shanda rebe bebe. Hallelujah. Speak in tongues. Break some strongholds. The tongue you're talking in might yet break the chains over your families, might set you free. Hallelujah. Your robo saka rababa. Shekondo roba mama. O robo saka dalaba shaka raba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.